Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Before James Garfield became the 20th president of the United States, he was first the principal at Hiram College in Ohio. One time, a father came to this school and he asked if the curriculum could be made easier so that his son could get through college in a shorter amount of time. And Garfield replied, "Yeah, sure, that's possible, but it all depends upon what your goal is for your son. What do you want him to be?" He said, "When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 100 years. When God wants to create a squash, he takes 2 months. Think about it. What do you want someone to be? Do you want to be an oak tree or a squash? Are there any squash out there? I don't see many hands. I only want to be an oak tree. Yes, and that takes time. And this morning, as we are wrapping up our series for 2022, our series is actually the theme of the year that we're going to be weaving throughout the year. But the theme is one word, and that word is lead. And today, we're going to be talking about developing people as we wrap our series up. So we want to welcome all of you, especially our online guests. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks for being with us. If you are an oak tree or a squash, you can type that in online in the comment section, what you feel like you are today. Sometimes that might vary depending on how your week went. But today we're going to talk about leading, and we've been looking at leading. Now some of us might say, "Craig, I am not a leader. I am not a leader. That's just not who I am. I don't have a management position. There's not a group of people I oversee." The thing is, and how many would say, "I am to follow Jesus and imitate what he does as a Christian"? I think all of us would say that. When you look at Jesus, there was two positions he assumed. We have those listed for you in your notes there. The notes are in the worship program that you received when you walked in. You can also access them at YouVersion. If you have that Bible app, go to the events page, look for Radius Church, and all the notes are right there online. The first thing Jesus did is he was like a lamb. He came and he followed God. He did what God wanted him to do. But there was a second position he assumed, and that was that of a shepherd, where he led people to God. And so that is our calling. That's our identity, where we both follow God and we lead other people to God. That's what God has called us to. And so the past few weeks, we've been talking about how do you and I lead people. And we've been using the word lead as an acrostic. The letter L stands for learn. Leaders are learners. They learn and grow. The letter E is example. People do what people see. If we're a positive role model, that produces positive results, whereas negative examples produce negative results. So we want to be good examples and set the pace. Just as the Apostle Paul said, "Imitate me because I'm imitating Jesus." That's our goal. The letter A that we touched on last week stands for attached. This is where we are attached to people. We build relationships with people. We do that through connecting with them, through caring for people, through noticing and valuing the one, by lifting people up, and by initiating the relationship. By the way, if you've missed any of our messages and you'd like to know more about them online, get caught up, you can either do that through our YouTube channel, or you can go to our website, radiuschurch.life, go to the Watch tab, and you can pick up on all of our messages from the past. This morning, as we look at the letter D in the word lead, D stands for develop. Leaders need to develop people. In our opening story, James Garfield wanted to develop young men into strong, mighty oak trees. He was developing the next generation to be leaders, to be strong, to be influencers in society. He didn't want them to be two-month squashes. He didn't want them to be weak and mealy-mouthed. He was developing them. And we need to be people developers. We need to be people developers, because here's the thing. We can do all the other qualities of a leader. We can learn, we can be examples, and we can be attached. But here's the thing. If we never take what we're learning and we pass it on to others and develop other people in what we're learning, we're not leading. If we're being a good example, But we are not developing other people to be good examples and to set the pace and determine the speed. We are not leading. If we are attached to people and have a great relationship, we enjoy hanging out with them, but we're never taking them somewhere else and developing them, we are not leading. We need to develop people. Now, I have here on this table a bunch of ingredients. We've got some flour, we've got eggs, cocoa, sugar, vanilla, vegetable oil, all the ingredients that we need to make a chocolate cake. How many like chocolate cake? Yes. When I was getting my illustration ready before church, we had our huddle. We meet with as our team in my office, and we huddle together. We go over the service. We pray, and they asked me if I was making chocolate cake today. And I says, no, because if I did, you'd smell it, and you'd be thinking about cake the whole time, and nothing I had to say. So I'm not making cake, but here, I have the ingredients to make the cake. The thing is, if all I do is just hang around with the ingredients, if I just spend time with them, and if I just enjoy it, but I don't begin to work with them, if I don't begin to get involved, if I don't move them out of where they're at and put them in a different place, if I don't do all these different things and just begin to get involved with them and work with them, all I have is nothing. I have to get involved and work with these ingredients to make chocolate cake. Chocolate cake just doesn't happen. And sometimes, how do you know when you work with people? It gets a little messy, huh? Right? And that's why sometimes we don't want to get involved, because we want life to be neat. We don't want to take the extra time. But man, isn't the finished product good? And that's what happens when we take the time to develop people. It makes something good. And Jesus talked about, for us, we need to make disciples. Just as chocolate cake doesn't happen on its own, you have to make it, disciples need to be made. Right before he went to heaven, this is what Christ commanded all of us who are followers of Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In your notes this morning, it says disciples and chocolate cake just don't happen, they are made. And so we as leaders, we don't just spend time with people, we invest time. We need to invest time with people, working with them, moving them from one place to another, getting them to give of themselves, and not just to stay in their box, to stay in their container, but to give out. And as we do, we will make disciples. So what does that mean? How does that apply to us? That means if there is someone that you've been praying for them to come to know Christ, maybe you've been inviting them to church, maybe you've been sharing with them what God's done in your life, you've even shared with them the gospel and your testimony, how you came to know Christ and what he's done for you, that means when that person becomes a Christian, when they maybe accept your invitation and come Sunday morning to see Trayton Welch, a UW football player, and they hear the gospel and they receive Christ, that means when you're sharing with them and you feel the Holy Spirit directing you to say, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior, receive his forgiveness and leadership, when they say yes and you lead them to Christ or they become a Christian, that means your work is not finished. That means your work is just getting started. Because Jesus said, don't go make converts. He said, make chocolate cake. I mean, disciples. He says, just don't let them sit there, but you got to get involved and you've got to make them to be people who then can lead others to Christ. Just as you led them, you want to reproduce that, because that's how you change the world. That's how you influence lives. So all of us, we need to have this mindset of, God, show me how to develop people, how to disciple people, how to invest time and not just spend time. You know, you think of the disciples, Jesus spent time with them, he hung out with them, but he also taught them, He gave them life experiences. He sent them out in twos. But then he did something else, and he evaluated them. And so that's part of the disciple-making process. Not only do we invest, but we also evaluate what they're doing. And a great example of this is found in Luke chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And Jesus said to them, 'Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.'" So he's reinforcing what they've learned, that they have power over evil spirits, that Satan is not more powerful than God. He's reinforcing that, but then he also brings some correction, because in verse 20 he says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Jesus says, yes, it's great that we cast out demons. It's great that we have power. It's great that we can do things that seem to be impossible. But that's not the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life is your relationship with God. And that's what you need to find joy in, that God saved you from sin and hell. You're not going to the place that he prepared for the demons. God saved you. That's what you get excited about. That's what's important in life. So Jesus corrected a wrong perception, and that's what we need to do on your notes this morning. We need to evaluate as we develop. We need to evaluate. We need to look at people's lives and see where are they doing well and affirm them and compliment them, but things where they're a little skewed, a little off, then we need to speak into that to bring correction so that they can be on the right path. So those are just some key things that we see about developing people, because this is what we need to realize. People development has always been God's plan. That has always been God's plan for you, for me, to develop people. We see it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, "The things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul said, "Tim, develop other people who will develop other people." That's what it's about. And all throughout Scripture, we see how God has said in different arenas of life, his theme was developing. We see it at home, and this is in your notes this morning, so you can kind of follow along or look at the screens. At home in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9, he said, "Teach them to your children. Teach them diligently to your children." What is he talking about? The principles in the Word of God. Moms and dads, this is one of our primary responsibilities, is to teach our kids God's ways. We don't teach them our ways and what we think is right and what we think how they should live. We teach them God's ways. And it's not that, okay, I'll take them to church and let Pastor Daniel teach them and Pastor Zach teach them. No, youth and children's ministries, the church, we are just a supplement to what the parents do. Nowhere in the Bible do you see God addressing the church to disciple the young people. It's always been the parents. Parents, that's our responsibility. So I just want you to take stock in your life. Are there times throughout the week that you're sitting down and you're talking about the Bible, you're reading the Bible with your kids, you're reading a devotional, you're praying with them? Maybe it's before they go to bed. Maybe you have family devotions at breakfast or at dinner at night. But are there times, and not just one time, but multiple times throughout the week? Because here's the thing, and for your devotions to make an impact on your kids, for them to have eternal value, they don't need to be eternally long, okay? When they're infants, just get a picture Bible, read the Bible story that's 3 or 4 pages long, and then pray with them. It takes a couple of minutes. And as you read the story, it's like, look at the butterfly. Look at the waves on the ocean. I mean, you got to make it good for a 2-year-old. How many know? They don't get a lot. But here's the thing. As you establish that pattern with them when they're little, that you're imparting spiritual principles, And you say, I don't know what principles to do. The Holy Spirit can teach you what to say as you read that story. Or you can get a devotional book that takes principles and they make application and they bring it to life. God can help you to disciple your kids and make them into disciples. You can develop your children into being Christ followers. And it doesn't have to be long, just 5 minutes at the meal table, 10 minutes before bed at night, saying prayers with them. As you begin to model and invest in your kids, you can make an impact in their life. So kids, you're here today. This is Family Sunday. Ask mom and dad, when are we having devotions, okay? See, I know if I tell the kids to do it, they're going to hold your feet to the fire, okay? All right? Okay, let's go on. It's not only at home, but we see in the Word of God, it's in the church. We just read Matthew 28:19, where he says, go into all the world, make disciples. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. In the church we develop. We see it that was also in national leadership. In Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 to 20, it gives instructions that each king needed to follow so that they could prolong their days in the kingdom, he and his children in the nation of Israel. God wanted the leaders to be investing and developing in themselves in their whole leadership realm. You go down to the army in 2 Samuel 21, verse 15 to 22, it speaks about four giants being born to the giant of Gath, and it says that they fell by the hand of David and his servants. David reproduced four giant killers. In that instance, there was also at least another example. It was in the military. God wants us to develop and reproduce ourselves. It's about multiplication. That is our identity as a church. If something is alive, you know what one of the signs of it being alive are? It reproduces itself. That's one of the signs that when biologists find a new life form or a new something, they look to see, does it reproduce? Are you reproducing yourself? Not just physically, but spiritually. If we've got spiritual life, God wants us to be developing other people. Now, how do we practically do that? In your notes this morning, we're going to give you some principles on people development, all right? So let's take a look at these items on how do we develop people. Number one, follow the shepherd's example. Follow the shepherd's example. David said in Psalm 23, it's the parable of the good shepherd. And he realized that just as he was a shepherd and these are the things he did, this is what God did for him. This is God's example. This is how Jesus has shepherded and he has led us. This is what we do. Number one, the first role a shepherd has is we lead and give direction. We give guidance and protection. Let's read Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths in his name's sake. The first thing we do is we lead people. They say that when sheep are in a valley, when they're eating somewhere, they will not really go anywhere else unless one wanders off, but they will just stay. And once they've eaten that whole food source, they don't go looking for more food. They just stay where they're at. Sheep need to be led. They need to be shown where to go. They need to be shown what to do. And so that means taking them to a safe place. That means avoiding danger. It's protecting them. That's what shepherds do. As we lead people, the correlation for us is that we give them direction. We give them guidance. We protect them. Those are the things that we do for people. The next thing a shepherd does is they feed. So first a shepherd leads, then a shepherd feeds. It talks about how he leads them into green pastures and makes them lie down beside still waters. The shepherd gave them the things that they needed to grow. He gave them nourishment. Do you realize that sheep are very skittish creatures? And they say that if you have a raging river, Sheep will not drink from the river. Even though there's this massive water supply, they won't drink for it. That's why the psalmist said, he leads me beside what kind of waters? Still waters. They need to be calm waters. And so that's where the shepherd takes them. He knows what the sheep need to nourish themselves and to grow, and that's what he provides for them. So we feed people, we provide for them, we give them the nourishment and the things that they need to grow. The next thing that a shepherd does is, first they lead, they feed, and the next one is intercede. They intercede. Now, we don't see this one in Psalm 23, but we know that Jesus is our good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 tells us that Jesus is praying and interceding for us. In fact, it says, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always, how often?
Always.
He always lives to intercede for them. Right now, Jesus is interceding for you. All of you watching online, Jesus is praying and interceding for you right now. And some of you watching or some of you here today, you need to know that. Some of you feel like you've been kind of left alone, you've been isolated, you feel like God doesn't care what's going on in my life. Jesus is praying for you right now. And it says he's always praying for you. He never stops praying. And the cool thing is that he can do that because he's God, because he's limitless. He has no limits. So he can be praying for Ed all the time, Christy all the time, Ada all the time, me all the time, Neil all the time. He prays for each of us all the time. Plus, he answers our prayers. I mean, Jesus is looking out for you. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is looking out for you this morning. You're not alone. Your good shepherd is leading you, he's feeding you, and he's interceding for you. And he says, hey, what I'm doing for you, that's what I want you to do for others. I want you to follow my example. You can lead them, you can feed them, and you can pray for them. You see some of the weaknesses in their life. You see some of the strengths. Pray for those strengths to get stronger. Pray for those weaknesses that they're struggling with. You see the problems they're dealing with, maybe at home or at work. You pray for them. Pray for them to develop a strong prayer life. Pray for God to reveal himself to them, that they'll begin to hear the voice of God and begin to walk in his own ways, that you don't have to point everything out to them all the time, but that they have a sensitive ear to the voice of God and a soft heart that will apply his principles, and God can begin to mold them and shape them in the person that he wants them to be. Intercede for the people that you're discipling and developing. Okay, so what's the shepherd's example? It rhymes.
Lead, feed, and intercede.
How many think you can do that? Uh-huh. All right, good. All right, let's look at the second thing that we learn about developing people. The second thing is that we want to develop character. The people that we are discipling, that we're trying to lead to God, we want to develop character in them. Romans chapter 5, verse 4 says, character produces hope. How many want hope in their life? Yeah. Do you realize when you lose hope, you just give up? Hope is one of the greatest commodities a person needs in their life. And where does hope come from? Character. Character produces hope. And so we want to be developing character in our lives, but also developing character in our kids, in the people that we're discipling, the people that we're leading and developing. We need to develop character. Now, what is character? You can write this down if you want. Character is a choice. Character is a choice. Each one of us chooses our own character. Character is not something you're born with. It's not like some families have the corner on the market because character's in their genes and other families don't, so you're just left out of it. all right? It's not like red hair or pink hair that's passed down in your beard. No, you know. Character is something that every single person can choose, so you're not limited by your family background. You're not limited by your economic status or social status. Each one of us can choose to be people of great character. So character is a choice. Next, character is when your actions match your words. It's when your actions match your words. In other words, it's the opposite of that old adage. How many have ever said to your kids, do as I say and not as I do? Yeah. There's times I've jokingly said that to my daughter when we're driving, okay? Do as I say, not as I do. But no, character is where our actions match what we say to ourselves and to others, all right? Character is also is who you are when nobody is looking. Character is who you are when nobody's looking. When you know you can get away with it, when you know no one's going to catch you, who are you then? Are you the same person in private as you are in public? Or do you have this one persona out in public, but behind the scenes you act totally different? Different values, different thoughts, different attitudes, different speech. Character is when our words match our actions. We are the same in private as we are in public. Going on, character is doing the right thing even at your own expense or when it doesn't make sense. Character is doing the right thing at your own expense or when it doesn't make sense. My wife and I, we were youth pastors in Salt Lake City, and we bought a home there, and God moved us out in 2 years' time. He changed my burden from feeling what I was going to work with youth for my entire life to being a lead pastor. When we sold our home, we made over $20,000. The market just went through the roof. And that was great because when we went to the next our next pastorate, then we were going to invest that money that we made as a down payment on a house. Now, at the time, there was capital gains, and you had 2 years to reinvest your money. From the time you sold, you had 2 years to buy a house. Well, we had a hard time finding a house. First of all, it took about 10 months from the time we resigned, because we knew God said resign, 10 months before we found a church. And then it was another about 10 months it was about 11 months before we actually found a house to buy. And by the time it finished, we got in with 1 month to spare. However, the couple who was living there, they were going to be moving. They wanted their kids to finish high school, and there was only 1 month left of the school year. So instead of them moving out and going somewhere else for the last month, they asked if they could rent from us, and we says, yeah, that's fine. After we made that decision, and it was all on paper, we found out that not only do you have to buy the house within 2 years, it has to be your residence. You have to be living in it. And it's like, what do? It's only 1 month. They're going to be out. We missed it by a month. Nobody's really going to know that we weren't living in the house. But God knows, because he sees everything. And so we had to pay about like $5,000 in capital gains tax. And that was hard to do. I had to borrow money from my parents to pay that tax burden. But you see, that's what character is. Character does the right thing even when it doesn't make sense, and even when it's at your own expense, and even when no one's looking. That's character. Develop character in your life and develop character in the lives of others. Okay, let's look at the third principle about people development, and that is to develop discipline and disciplines. Develop discipline and disciplines. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. That word discipline, when he says I discipline my body, it refers to training oneself very rigorously. It was used of a boxer who was training for competition. So it involved the early morning runs. It involved speed drills. It involved, you know, lifting weights, developing strength, developing quickness. It involved getting into the ring with training partners and letting them punish you and punch you so you could develop endurance and strength for the blows that you're going to receive in the ring. And Paul says, that's what I'm doing to my body. That's what I'm doing to my spirit. That's the intense spiritual training that I'm bringing myself into so that as I preach and try to develop and lead others, I don't have character. I'm not who I say I am or say you should be, and I am disqualified and I don't make it to the kingdom. You see, in our spiritual lives, our spiritual lives need to have this discipline, this intensity about it, that we're saying, yeah, I'm really serious about this. It's not like, how strong would you be if your workout was 2 push-ups and 2 sit-ups a day? Are you going to be rough, tough, and buff? No. And yet sometimes that's what our devotional life looks like. I've got this 2-minute, you know, devotional that I listen to on the radio or on a podcast as I'm shaving and I'm brushing my teeth and getting ready in the morning. And then on my way to work, I've got an 8-minute commute, and so I talk to God for 8 minutes, and then I just go on my day and I do what I want. Friends, our spiritual life needs to represent a heavyweight boxer who's getting ready for the fight of his life. Because every day we have an enemy who's in the fight for our life trying to take us out. And so God wants us to develop discipline and intensity in our life and develop the spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible reading, fasting, scripture memorization, of silence and solitude, waiting upon God and letting Him talk to us, and we just don't do all the talking in prayer. That is a key thing to develop in the disciples, to develop in our kids, discipline and the disciplines. So I want you to think about your approach to your spiritual life. Are you a flyweight or a heavyweight? God wants us to be heavyweights because heavyweights can do powerful things in the kingdom of God as we lead and develop other people. Okay. Number 4, develop excellence. The people that we're discipling, that we're leading, we want to develop excellence in them. You know, it's not uncommon for us to look at people today on the job and to see them be lazy and do shoddy work. It's not uncommon to see people just kind of work half-heartedly, not giving it their best. You know, it's about 8 minutes before the clock, and they're just sitting there waiting for it before they have to punch out. You know, they're not putting in their best. Excellence is giving your best. The Bible talks about this. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 23, says, whatever you do, whether it in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, what's included in whatever? Does that include washing dishes? Does that include being a grocery clerk? Or an electrician? Or working on the oil field? Does that include working in the nursery? Or being a greeter? Does that include being a student at school? Yeah, that got quiet there. I thought at least the parents would say amen. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. I think Paul is echoing what Solomon, the wisest man ever, wrote in Ecclesiastes 9:10. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you're going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Solomon's saying, hey, friends, when you die, you don't get a do-over. There's no mulligan in golf where you get to hit off again because you didn't get it right the first time. He says, you've got one shot, so whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. And that is something that society and even Christians have lost, a spirit of excellence. As Christians, we should be the best workers, the best students, the best athletes. Now, that doesn't mean the most talented, but that means we're working the hardest in the gym and in the workouts. It means that we're playing fairly and not cheating. We're abiding by the rules. We're the best athletes. We're the best musicians. We are the ones that are giving it all we've got. That's what the Bible says. Be people of excellence. And so we want to develop that in our children as we're discipling them and in the other people that God brings in our life to develop. My schedule has been really, really busy lately. It's been super crazy, super full, and been working later or coming home and then staying up later at night. And I tell you, many nights I come home and I'm just drained. I don't want to talk to my wife and my daughter. I just want to sit in a chair and do nothing. You know, put on a movie or something, or just zone out. I want to veg. And earlier this week, came home, and I did not want to talk. I didn't want to do anything, but I knew I needed to ask, how was your day, honey? How did piano lessons go? How was school? How'd things go? I needed to engage. See, it applies in our marriage. Whatever your hand finds to do, it applies in our parenting. Do it with all your might. We need to be people that are giving it our best. When you're being a husband or a wife, give it your best. When you're being a parent, give it your best. When you're being a manager or the worker, give it your best. You're being a student, give it your best. You're being an athlete, give it your best. You're being a musician, give it your best. You're working in the nursery or up in the media booth running cameras, give it your best. Give life your best. Because excellence honors God and it inspires people. Amen. That's good. I'm going to say that again, okay? Excellence honors God and it inspires people, and also it changes lives. When you develop excellence in others and they begin to do that, wow, the results have a ripple effect. Okay, let's move on. Number five, next thing we want to develop in people is life skills that they need. The life skills that they need. A few weeks ago, we looked at the letter L in the acrostic lead, and L stood for learn. That's right, learn. And we gave a resource for learning. That resource, those are things that you can help other people. Do they need help with their finances? Give them some of those financial resources. Develop them in that area. Do they need help with parenting or having devotions or with their marriage or with their own disciplines, how to pray, read the Word? Those were some of the areas that we gave you as resources. So develop the life skills in people. If you want, if you did not get a copy of that or you're lost yours, you can access it through our website, radiuschurch.life. Go to the Watch tab. Look for the January 9th message, where the Learn message. And under the sermon notes, there's a PDF, and you can download it so you always know where it's at. Resources for learning. You can use that to develop yourself, but also to develop the people in your life. Okay, the last thing you and I need to look for, that we need to do in developing, is we need to look for the gold. Okay? We need to look for the gold. Dale Carnegie was once asked how he managed to hire 43 millionaires. Okay? I mean, that's an impressive number, 43 millionaires. Someone asked him, how did you hire 43 millionaires? A reporter did, and Carnegie responded that the men had not been millionaires when he hired them. They became millionaires as a result of working for him. And so the reporter says, okay, how did you do it? What did you do to develop these guys to become millionaires? And this is what he said. He said, men are developed the same way gold is mined. Several tons of dirt must be moved to get an ounce of gold. But you don't go into the mine looking for the dirt. You go in looking for the gold. We need to look for the gold in people. Yes, we need to be willing to remove the dirt from our lives, and they need to be willing to remove the dirt from their lives, because that's just going to obscure the gold. But our society, doesn't our society look for the dirt? Oh, do we look for the dirt? You watch the news, it's the dirt. Social media, it's the dirt. The talk shows, The View, whatever it is, it's the dirt. That's all. And you know what? As Christ followers, it's easy for us to look for the dirt too. We look for the dirt at work, in our manager. We look for the dirt in our coworkers. We come home, we look for the dirt in our kids. We look for the dirt in our husband or our wife. We look for the dirt in the pastor. We look for the dirt in the teachers, in the coach. We look for the dirt. But friends, as long as you're looking for the dirt, you're going to have a dark, bleak, dirty picture of life. We need to look for the golden people. The more you look for the good, the more you're going to find the good. And again, that doesn't mean disregarding the dirt, but the primary focus is looking for the good in people. Because that's going to change your perception. That's going to help you to believe in them and realize they've got potential. And I find it interesting, when Jesus picked his followers, he didn't pick the educated, he didn't pick the powerful leaders, he picked fishermen, tax collectors who were looked at as like thieves, because they charged more tax and they pocketed it for themselves. One guy, Simon the Zealot, a zealot was a person trying to overthrow the government, the Roman government. That's who Jesus picked. It would be easy to see a lot of dirt in those guys. But Jesus saw the gold. We need to see the golden people. Look at your notes this morning. On the bottom, there's a series of questions there. It's under the diving into developing section. It says, are you open and available to God using you to develop someone? Some of us aren't open for whatever reason. We're not available, we're too busy, or we're too insecure. The next question is, who do you need to develop? And what do you need to develop in them? For some of us, God may be saying, that's my kids. I need to begin developing my kids. Or maybe there's someone at work or someone who you've recently led to the Lord, or they become a Christian and you need to begin to developing them. But I want you to just take those three questions and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you about developing people as our role as leaders. Let's pray together this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that as the Good Shepherd, you gave your life for us. You saved us, but now you're leading us. You're directing us, you're guiding us, you're bringing us into paths of righteousness. You're feeding us, and you're interceding for us. Lord, help us to fulfill our identity and lead other people effectively to you. Some of you here sitting this morning, as we've been talking about developing others, you've maybe felt a little overwhelmed, like, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. No one ever developed me. No one discipled me. That's not my gift mix. I haven't had any formal training. You know, I need to be developing myself before I develop others. Jesus recruited the fisherman, the guy overthrowing the government. He recruited the thief of a tax collector. He did not recruit the educated, those with formal training. And yet those guys changed the world. 2,000 years later, Millions and millions of people have been led to Christ. They've been developed, and it's been perpetuated because of the 12 men that took what Jesus had to say and said, I'm going to go and make disciples. You can do it. Even if you don't feel qualified, even if you don't have the training, if Jesus did it for them, he can do it for you because he's no respecter of persons. Those watching online, the devil is lying to you, saying that you can't help others, you can't develop others. Yes, you can, because that's the DNA God gave you when he gave you the Spirit of Jesus who lives in you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, you can do the impossible. It's interesting, when the disciples stood before the priests and they said, how do these guys know all this stuff? How do they do all this stuff? They don't have any training. It says the only thing they could realize, the only thing that distinguished them, is that they spent time with Jesus. That's what all we need, is to spend time with Jesus, the Almighty Creator, who just as he spoke life out of nothing, he can take maybe nothing in your life and bring life so you can give life to others. God can empower you to lead. Don't let your insecurities, inadequacy, don't let fear that the devil's trying to put on you prevent you from becoming a people developer. God wants us all to lead people to Christ, not just as a convert, but to make disciples, to make chocolate cake. How many this morning you would say, I need God's help in developing people. I don't feel I know enough. I don't feel worthy enough. And I need an infusion of the Holy Spirit to develop people. Just lift your hand this morning. Many hands going up. That's awesome. That's awesome. Some of you here today, you're saying, man, I am struggling. Craig, I am so busy. I'm so overwhelmed. Or there's so many problems in my life. I don't feel that I can have anything to give. I don't have time to develop people. I'm just so burnt out, worn out. Friend, I feel your pain. I feel your desperation. You know, just this week, God gave me a breakthrough in five different little things, and this is what happened. I shared with key leaders, I shared with my accountability partner what's been going on, and they've been praying for me, and I've seen God move. If you are going through a rough time, don't keep it to yourself. A burden shared is cut in half, and a joy shared is doubled. You cannot carry this alone. You need to go to your mentors, spiritual leaders, confidants, accountability partners, friends, and share your heart so they can be praying for you. And when you get into your car, if you've got a family, if you've got a spouse, when you get in your car before you turn that ignition, you need to sit there and say, God, I'm worn out, I'm depleted, I need your help, I need you to fill me. God, help me to engage when I get home. God, I feel like nothing, but you created life out of nothing, so give me life now to minister to my family. And then you yourself make sure you are doing that discipline of spending time with Jesus. If you're going through a rough spot, that's what you need to do, those three things. Spend time with Jesus, pray for God's help to engage your family, and share the burden with armor bearers. If you're here this morning and you're saying, I need prayer, Craig, I'm worn out, it's a difficult time for me, I need God's support and help, I'd like you to lift your hand. How many here are just going through that rough time? If maybe you even feel like, man, it's keeping you from being a developer, from reaching other people. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I pray for all these who have raised their hands. God, you know every situation. Lord, we had that prophecy this morning during worship that you know all the days of our lives. You know everything that's going on. So Lord, take our worries, our struggles, our problem, our stress, our burnout, our weariness, our desperation. Jesus, we call out to you, and I thank you for the promise in the Psalms that says, I called upon the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I thank you for your word that says, he hears. You are the God who hears. You're the God who sees. So Lord, you see. You bring hope. You bring encouragement. I pray that people will press into you. They'll develop that discipline. As they spend time with you, you will transform them. You'll give them energy. You'll give them wisdom. You'll give them breakthrough. God, move in their lives. Lord, for those who feel like, God, I can't do it. God, there's nothing special about me. I'm inadequate. Lord, we are your children. We sang about it today. We're children of God. And if we're children of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus, meaning everything Jesus has been given, you've given to us. So, Lord, your wisdom, your power, your knowledge, your strength, your peace, your joy, your hope, all of that is ours. Help us, God, to be people developers, to make disciples, God, to influence our city, God, to turn Casper upside down, to see the kingdom of God established, for heaven to be built here on earth. God, use Radius. Help each of us to influence our Radius. Help us to be the leaders, the followers, and the shepherds that you want us to be. Oh, use us, God. Use us, God. Some of you here this morning, whether you're live or you're watching online, you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not a Christian. We've talked about having this relationship with God, but you don't have a relationship with God. And if you're here and you'd say, I know I'm not right with God. If something happened to you, if you died today, you're not sure if you'd go to heaven or hell. Jesus died for our sins so we don't have to go to hell. He wants to live with you forever and eternity, and he wants to have a relationship with you here right now. If you need to accept Jesus as your shepherd, and what does that mean? You say, I'm not going to lead myself anymore. You're the shepherd. You're the leader. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to live to please you. If that's you this morning, whether you're live or online, would you just raise your hand? As no one's looking around, this is a moment between you and God. How many would say, I need to be saved from my sin? Thank you. I want that relationship with God. Anyone else this morning, you'd say, I need that relationship with God. Or maybe you've fallen away and you need to recommit your life to Christ. If that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you. I see those hands there in the middle. Maybe those watching online, just raise your hand there in the comfort of your living room, your bedroom, wherever you're at, wherever you're watching. Just respond to God. Let him see you. I'm going to say this prayer. I'd like each of us to respond, to repeat after me. No one praying alone. Dear Jesus, I need your forgiveness because I'm a sinner. I've done wrong, and I'm sorry. I receive you into my life. Become my leader, my shepherd. Guide me, protect me, feed me, and intercede for me. Develop me to be the person you want me to be. And help me to make disciples. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't stop. God, those who've just said, Lord, here I am, they've come into your kingdom, I pray it wouldn't stop with them. You'd begin to give them abundant eternal life, and you would help them to begin to influence others, begin to develop others, use them as you teach them, they can pass that on. God, I thank you for your goodness.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.